Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300. Yesterday, the season of Advent began. The church marks the beginning of its year yesterday, and it begins a little off the calendar of what we would call the calendar year. What is the season of Advent, and why has the church observed it? It has changed from time to time, and of course, it is always viewed as kind of the run-up to Christmas, but it is more than that. Joining us to talk about the season of Advent on this Monday, November the 29th, Pastor Heath Curtis. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's author of the book titled Ordering Our Days and Our Deeds in His Peace, An Introduction to the Christian Church Year. Heath, welcome back.
Always good to be here, Todd.
We've only got a minute before we take this first break with you. Someone says that just the term Advent sounds kind of archaic and unusual, not a word that we toss around every day in common speech. What is it?
Advent comes from the Latin word advenio, which means I come unto, I walk unto. And so the term Advent, it's a two-edged sword. We're really looking at two comings of Jesus. The one everybody thinks of is, you know, Jesus is coming to Bethlehem. We're getting ready for Christmas. But a major focus of Advent is really Jesus' second coming to judge the world and raise the dead.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend the remainder of this program on this Monday afternoon talking about the season of Advent. I invite your questions and comments. This break is a good time to call as well. 1-877-623-MYIE. There are all sorts of things that go with Advent, certain colors that are laid out by the church. Of course, we see the hints of the coming Christmas celebration in some of these things too. There's the Advent wreath with its four sometimes uniformly colored candles. The one that I saw on Sunday had four blue ones, but I think probably more traditional, maybe I'm wrong, is a purple and pink and then a central white one. What are these things and what are the biblical themes that underlie the church's observation of the season of Advent? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Monday afternoon, November the 29th. Also, leave your questions or comments at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. More with Pastor Heath Curtis on Advent after this.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muscoota, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article that I've written titled The Theology of Jesus. What's the connection between the Church's Confession of Christ and her Confession of the Trinity? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Mason Beecroft writes about the false promises of pop American Christianity. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
The faith once for all delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Advertising abortion.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The abortion controversy in Great Britain heated up again recently when Mari Stopes International, an abortion provider, ran television ads throughout the country. The controversial ad shows various women with unplanned pregnancies and urges them and others to call Mari Stopes International. Government regulations previously prohibited such ads, but a recent change made it possible for Mari Stopes to advertise on television. The United Kingdom already has a high abortion rate, and it has increased in recent years. Many fear these advertisements will lead to even more abortions.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. We're talking about the season of Advent. The season of Advent began yesterday and runs for a very nice and neat 4 weeks up until the celebration of Christ's birth and the season that begins then, Christmas. Heath, you said before that there was kind of a twofold emphasis here of Christ's first coming in the incarnation, his second coming at the end to judge the world. And if someone sits down in a church that observes kind of an historical Advent, I think it's probably safe to say they're going to find a lot more of that second one than they will of the first. The church has tended to save the incarnational emphasis of Christ's second coming or Christ's first coming for the celebration of Christmas proper. Am I wrong there?
No, you're absolutely right. Historically, there is a big emphasis in our Lord Jesus Christ's return that I think we would do well to recapture in our day. There's obviously a lot of interest in that in the American evangelical community, and the unbiblical story they spin of the rapture and the millennium. And there's always a lot of if a pastor wants to pack a Bible class, he advertises that he's going to teach the book of Revelation. There's a lot of interest there, so I think pastors would be it would really behoove them to take advantage of the church's historic liturgy and preach Advent as this time to really teach the people to watch, to be ready for the second coming. What should they be looking forward to? What are the false teachings out there to avoid? It is a great opportunity for pastors to teach the flock these important topics each and every year as we come to a new church year in Advent.
What are the primary biblical texts first underlying the church's observation of Advent, and then the ones that the church actually employs by way of kind of these guideposts during this season?
Well, sure. If we just go through the weeks, a traditional Advent actually, so this past Sunday what was read in the parishes I serve, it begins very interestingly with Palm Sunday. The gospel lesson for yesterday was Matthew 21. And so we get already we get this idea that something about this Advent is very different. Why are we reading this Holy Week text into November, beginning of December? Everybody else is putting the lights on the tree. They're ready for Luke chapter 2. But we start with Jesus coming unto, Advenit, coming unto Jerusalem, riding on the donkey, going to the cross. And so in one sense, we start with the crowds acclaiming Jesus coming to Jerusalem, and then in the liturgy, those words recur again at the Lord's Supper when we sing at the end of the Sanctus, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And so, Advent in the historic lectionary starts off very mysteriously. How does all this work together? It really invites a lot of thought, a lot of meditation on the Word. And linked to that, the historic epistle lesson is from Romans 13, where St. Paul has a sharp focus on the coming again of Jesus. He says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness and put on the armor of light." And so tying those two things together, that's how Lent begins on the first Sunday of Advent.
So, but I take it that there are, it's not a uniform judgment, 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 Christ is coming, Christ is coming, Christ is coming. There is a warp and woof to these four weeks of observation.
Yeah, after you get that first week, which invites this interesting meditation of how does Jesus coming to Jerusalem, how is that the same, how is that different to his coming again to judge, and how is that different again from his coming to us in the sacrament of the altar, you then switch to the second week, which in the historic Lutheran lectionary is very directly about the second coming. You get a reading from Luke 21 about the fall of Jerusalem, very similar to what has been going on in the last weeks of the church year. And then, much as in Lent, there's that kind of break in the fourth week in Lent, Laetare Sunday, it's called in Lent. That's where you'll see some churches will even have rose-colored pyramids. Well, the third Sunday in Advent is like that. That's why you spoke of the traditional Advent wreath has that rose-colored candle. That's for that third week in Lent, in Advent, which is called Gaudete Sunday, which means rejoice. And everything is kind of lifted up a bit. The introit, the gradual, the verse, they're all about our joy in the Lord. The collect, we look for our Lord's gracious visitation on the last day. And the gospel lesson is the messengers from St. John. They get sent to Jesus, and they ask, you know, are we supposed to be looking for you? Are you the one? You know, John's disciples are confused, so he sends them to Jesus to get the good news from the horse's mouth. And so what Jesus says to them is, hey, go tell John what you see. The blind receive their sight. The halt and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news preached to them. And so it's this big, joyous day right there in the middle of Advent, which is a somewhat somber time of the year, all things told.
Kathy asked the question, and I think we kind of assumed it. She says, is this also a season of repentance? Why is this not emphasized? Has there been kind of a loss recently in the emphasis on repentance?
Yeah, you can certainly see that even in the fact that most churches have gone from the traditional color of Advent as violet, so it looked very much like Lent, to now, I would say in most churches the color is blue, and that was explained, that kind of happened in the mid-20th century. That change was explained as re-emphasizing Lent, differentiating between Advent and Lent, making Lent more about hope, looking forward specifically to Christmas, as opposed to an obvious theme of judgment and therefore of repentance. The other thing that Kathy might be interested in is the fact that the Ember Days traditionally fall during Advent. The Ember Days occur at the changing of the season, so they occur four times a year, and the winter Ember Days always fall during the third week of Advent. And again, the Ember Days have a very penitential theme. And so that is, if a pastor out there is still scrambling for an Advent midweek series, you might look at the Advent Ember Days and get a very nice set of readings that do look forward to Christmas, but that also encourage us to talk about almsgiving and fasting and all those traditional things that we usually associate just with Lent.
You mentioned the colors. So can you give us kind of the rationale for these things? I mean, it is, I think, probably just a imponderable mystery to most people why the colors were what they were and why what they are what they are, and then even down to the point of the colors of the candles on the Advent wreath, which we need to discuss as well.
Sure. The color of repentance has traditionally been violet. The idea there that I've heard, I mean, all the colors seem to make a lot of direct sense. You know, green for the growth of the church, white for the purity of Christ and the saints, red for the blood of the martyrs. Then you kind of get violet. Why is that associated with repentance? Right? You know, violet, isn't that the royal color? And so the idea that I've heard is that the violet is connected with repentance because it is the color of the people of God as the royal priesthood. And so that even in our repentance, we remember that we're God's children, that we're his royal priesthood, that the repentance in the church is never the despairing repentance unto death but it's always the joyful repentance of the children of God returning to their Heavenly Father, where they know they will find forgiveness and grace in Jesus Christ.
With only a minute here, very quickly, does blue, which has become kind of the more modern equivalent, does blue have a rationale, or is that just, you know, someone searching for a new fashion sense in the church?
It probably develops out of Sweden and or Spain and or France. You hear different stories, but it's a color that's traditionally been associated with the Virgin Mary. And obviously Mary has a lot to do with Advent, and so that was kind of a natural fit. But then the how it usually gets explained now, especially in Protestant churches, is that it's blue for hope, you know, as the sky and, you know, hope, and I don't know how exactly that works out, but historically it really comes from, it's the Virgin Mary's color.
Okay, that's something that we probably need to talk about on the other side of the break. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's author of the book titled Ordering Our Days and Our Deeds in His Peace, an introduction to the Christian church year. You can purchase Ordering Our Days and Our Deeds in His Peace by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Ordering Our Days and Our Deeds in His Peace, an introduction to the Christian church year by our guest in this hour, Pastor Heath Curtis. We're talking about Advent. Your questions and comments are certainly welcome. We'll get to some of them on the other side of the break. 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. or a tweet at IssuesETC, or you can leave your questions on Advent and the season of Advent at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, facebook.com/IssuesETC.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
You'll find Christ-centered, cross-focused sermons from the Old Testament in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, the Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. These sermon texts are written by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Ken Sherb. You can find out more about this resource at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Old Testament Collection by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
We're talking the season of Advent. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Borden, Illinois, Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. author of a book titled Ordering Our Days and Our Deeds in His Peace, An Introduction to the Christian Church Year, and he's online editor of Gottesdienst, a blog of the Evangelical Lutheran Liturgy. We'll have a link at our website, issuesetc.org. Heath, this one comes from Sam in Huntington Beach, California. He says, at my congregation, I hear all sorts of things like, quote, Pastor, last year Christmas wasn't so joyful. You were always talking about Advent and things like that. Well, they wanted the world's version of Christmas, which is sadly lacking in every way. Your thoughts there?
Yeah. People, the world is out there teaching our people that Christmas begins the day after Thanksgiving, if not some months before, you know, right after Halloween. I saw stuff go up in the department stores getting ready for Christmas. But the church really emphasizes that much like Easter, you know, we should prepare for that. We also prepare for Christmas. So the two big feasts come with them, times of preparation, thinking about not just the celebration that's coming, but also thinking about our need to approach that celebration in a spirit of humility, repentance, and joy. And so there's joy in Lent, there's joy in Advent, but it is the kind of joy that is more than skin deep, you know, that goes below the surface, that includes with it humility and honesty about who I am and who God is and how I have to come to Him. And that's the wisdom behind the way the church prepares for these two great holidays.
This comes from Rob in Hillsdale, Michigan. He says, on December 26th, it seems that many Americans belch after weeks of partying, return to the gifts to the stores, throw away the tree, and then start figuring on how to lose weight so that they gained during the holidays. They missed both Advent and Christmas, which has barely begun. Have we lost sight of Advent being a penitential season, not unlike Lent, and consequently forgotten the great feast that Christmas used to be? May God grant us a quiet and penitential Advent and grace to reject the American consumerism and insane busyness of the season. And may He grant us a 12-day Christmastide party that is so raucous and merry that we would almost certainly infuriate and offend the likes of Oliver Cromwell himself. Have we lost both the fasting of Advent and the feasting of Christmas, he asks.
Oh, absolutely. And he's right. That really is unfortunate. What we do in our family, and this is especially nice for pastors to approach it this way, but I think for everyone, you know, Advent and Christmas are such hectic times, we really treat Advent as Advent. You know, we don't try to get, I've got extra sermons to write and trips to make and everything else. So we don't try to do Christmassy stuff during Advent. We let it be Advent. We don't put up the tree until Christmas Eve. And we put up the tree, and then every night through the 12 days of Christmas, you know, that kind of slows down for me, you know, and I think it slows down for everybody. There's no more this great ramp up to Christmas and shopping to get done and travel plans to make. And then those 12 days become a really neat time for Rebecca and I to be together with our kids, and we do something, you know, around the tree every night together as a family. And then in our church, we make Epiphany a great big celebration, and that kind of caps off the Christmas season. And I have so much enjoyed that. It's much, much more thoughtful and prayerful and relaxing and joyful, I think, than the world's version of, you know, 27 days of Christmas, and then, boy, are we sick of it already by that point.
What is up with the Advent wreath?
It probably comes from the St. Lucy Day celebration. Any listeners who have Swedish blood probably know about this, especially popular up there. December 13th is St. Lucy's Day. Lucia was a Syracusan martyr in the 300s, one of the very early martyrs during the Diocletian persecution. And her name, of course, means light. And before Pope Gregory corrected the calendar in 1582, December 13th was the shortest day of the year. So it kind of all came together there. On the longest night of the year, you celebrate Saint Light. It's all these things fit together, and it's a neat Advent celebration. But in Swedish households, the youngest daughter wears this crown, a St. Lucy crown, which has light, you know, it's candles, it's a light crown, and she brings everybody St. Lucy's buns. If Jeff will remind me, I'll send a link to my wife's recipe for St. Lucy's Day buns. They're fabulous. And everybody can make those on St. Lucy's Day, and we do that in our house, and it's a hoot.
Okay, I guess one more question regarding the wreath, and that is, and this is, again, kind of the confusion that comes from mixed practices here and there and kind of the influences that creep in and creep out. Some of these, it goes with the color question, some of these wreaths have four blue candles with a central white one. Some of them have three kind of scarlet or perhaps purple candles with a pink one and then a white one in the center. I know it's supposed to be some kind of a clock. So how do we best explain the variations there and what they're intended to teach us?
Sure. Well, from the St. Lucy's Day crown, this kind of circular wreath with candles in it finds its way into the church. And how it's used today, though, is that the each one of the candles represents a week in Advent. And so if your congregation uses blue paraments, you've probably got blue candles and maybe the pink one for the third week, and likewise violet candles and a pink one for the third week. But yeah, the pink one should be the third week in Advent. That's for Gaudete Sunday. And that's what it's counting down. And then the central white one is lit on Christmas. And again, it's kind of makes a parallel to the Paschal candle for Easter, which is lit at the Easter Vigil. And so maybe that's also another influence on how this comes to be part of the Christmas celebration.
Finally, then, how does the church best not only observe Advent as the season of preparation, repentance, joyful expectation, of the feast of Christ's incarnation that so quickly approaches. Not only how do we observe it, but how do we best maintain this observation, both in our homes and in our congregations?
Well, I mean, certainly it's got to start with prayer. It has to start with the devotional life of the family. If you want to do this in your home, a great resource from CPH is the Treasury of Daily Prayer. That's going to keep your Advent readings really focused on Advent. So that's where it happens at home. And then in the church, you know, like I said, it behooves the pastor to really make those midweek, if you have midweek Advent services, to really make those services thoughtful and about an Advent theme, and either evening prayer or compline really accent those themes very well. They're very prayerful, very thoughtful, but it really does take both in the pastor and the church and the head of the household, you know, the father and the family. It's going to take a concerted effort on your part to keep Christmas from being hectic. And hey, that's got to begin with prayer, setting aside a time for your family to be together in the Word each and every day. If you're not doing that, Advent is a great time to begin. You know, act now.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's author of the book titled Ordering Our Days and Our Deeds in His Peace, an introduction to the Christian church here. He's online editor of Gottesdienst, the blog. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Always enjoy it.
Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll talk about the Day of Atonement. Pastor Thomas Messer will be our guest. Folks, if you appreciate Issues, Etc., historic, authentic Christian radio, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. Now, we need a little more than $46,000 to make budget this year and about 1 month to do it. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. 1-800-324-8834. And for any size gift before the end of this year, we'll send you a CD of one of my Christmas and Epiphany sermons. Thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of 2010. The church has its own calendar, its own clock, and it ticks away, sometimes rather slowly. It doesn't jump ahead. The world always wants to jump ahead, doesn't the world? To get to things before they actually occur, and then to begin the celebration sometimes so hollow in its celebration, so that by the time the actual day arrives, we're not really in the mood for it, and we've lost what it's really about. The church marks time around the most significant time in human history, the coming of Jesus Christ in human flesh, through the womb of the Virgin Mary, into our world to redeem us, a lost and condemned race of mankind. That's how the church marks time, by that little window of time wherein Christ served us with his body at the cross and gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins. It's a good way to mark time because that, after all, is the center of all time and of all human history. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.